Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Before he was a beefy professional wrestler whose weapon of choice was a 2x4, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was the son of the chief of police in nearby Glens Falls, New York, and a star athlete in high school and on the football team at Southern Methodist University. He later rose to the top of the pro wrestling circuit under various monikers. His almost comedically patriotic character endeared him to fans of the World Wrestling Federation and World Championship Wrestling, among other circuits. During his wrestling career, Duggan was diagnosed with kidney cancer, which he beat, and has returned to the ring in the years since. He was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame last year, and nearing 60, he's managed to avoid much of the tragedy that befalls other pro wrestlers in a world that includes plenty of drinking, drugs, physical harm, and untold hours on the road. His new memoir is called Hacksaw and is published by Triumph Books. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, welcome to the Roundtable.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much, and I appreciate that great introduction. But you know, the first thing Hacksaw's got to do is give a big, ho! You know, kind of fires me up, gets me going in the mornings.
You came from Glens Falls, which is right in our listening area. What was your childhood like there?
It was actually great. I compare it to Mayberry up there, you know, where my dad, there's a lot of parallels with my dad being the chief of police for over 20 years up there. But we lived in a really nice neighborhood with, you know, elm trees lined the street with the curbs, and we could play touch football out in the middle of the street. It was a nice upbringing. It really was. I had a lot of support from my family and friends and coaches and teachers. It was, you know, a lot of guys in wrestling have these hard luck stories where they came up with, you know, nobody. I was kind of the opposite, you know, and it was a great upbringing for me.
When did you realize you were physically gifted?
I was big for my age, pretty much about fourth grade, I think. And in 1963, my dad was so big to play Optimus football. The Optimus had a football, the Blue Raiders. Matter of fact, it's only the one trophy I still keep, you know, my first ever trophy from 1963. But I loved football growing up, and I knew that football would be my ticket out of Glens Falls and move on to college, because my dad had worked, you know, to put my three sisters through school, and he was getting older, and I knew that if it wasn't for football, I'd probably be working at French and Prine, the paper mill.
So how did you end up at SMU?
Well, they just did a great recruiting job. Football was my main sport, but my shot put record from 1973 still stands today up in Glens Falls. I joke, what a bunch of horses going. I don't know what's going on up there, but it still stands. So I was recruited by Penn State and Paterno and Ohio State with Woody Hayes, and I made about seven different recruiting trips. But the offensive line coach from Southern Methodist, a guy named Bob Cutworth, came up and stayed in Glens Falls. And, of course, he was from Dallas, and he had a big cowboy hat and cowboy boots. And he really stuck out like a sore thumb in Glens Falls in 73. But him and my mom hit it off. Because I came back from Ohio State. I'm like, I'm going to be a Buckeye. And my mom's like, wait a minute, Jim. It worked out to be a good decision to go to SMU, where they were saying, you know, I wouldn't just be a number at SMU. And I had a nice career down there also.
Was it a difficult transition from Glens Falls, New York, this kind of idyllic small town, to going to Texas?
Right into the middle of Texas, too. And the first time I had ever been on a plane trip, SMU was one of my first recruiting trips. And so to go that far away, and of course, you know, Mean Gene Okerlund always used to joke. He said, Hacksaw Duggan, who took a cut and pay to leave SMU, would go to the Atlanta Falcons. I'm like, Gene, come on, we changed our image down there. I had an opportunity to start as a freshman, and it was a big move, you know, from the cool weather of upstate New York to the heat of Dallas, Texas. But, you know, I was just so gung-ho. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I had real short hair. I was as stereotype of a jock you could have, I think.
And it didn't work out with the Falcons. You got hurt. Do you ever think about what kind of career you would have had in the NFL? Arguably, you're more famous than you ever could have been in the NFL with the career you've had in wrestling.
Sure, yeah. You know, I was young and dumb, I guess, after I had my two major. I got hurt during preseason with the Falcons, and I had two surgeries the same year, 77. But I'm still actually very active in the retired players, NFL Retired Players Union, because I represent a lot of guys. Most guys don't play 4 years and are not vested and don't get a pension. Most guys, like myself, play 1 or 2, 3 years. And so actually I do quite a bit with the NFL. I go to their conference convention every year. But I was heartbroken when I was cut. You know, there was a traffic circle in Furman University. That's where we had our training camps back then. And I just kept driving around the traffic circle. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know to go back to Glens Falls, go back to Atlanta, Dallas. But I ended up going back to Dallas and hooking up with Fritz Von Erich, who years ago was suggested of professional wrestling. And it's worked out, you know, much, much better for me. Obviously, I've, you know, been wrestling 33 years. I'm 58. And I still get on a ring.
Amazing that you're still able to do it at this time. You wrote something in the book that was really fascinating to me, which is you found it very difficult to play with the storylines of professional wrestling. I don't think I'm spoiling anything for people. It's scripted and, you know, you've got to go along with the arc and get people into the arena. But you were so competitive from your football background that, you know, you still didn't like to lose.
Yeah, especially in the early beginning, as it took a while to understand professional wrestling coming from a football background. You know, especially in the day, a lot of guys were second generation. Jake the Snake Roberts was second generation. Ted DiBiase, Kurt Hennig. A lot of guys grew up in the business and understood wrestling. You know, myself coming from a football background, it was an adjustment. But what a lot of folks don't realize about professional wrestling is how competitive it is. You know, I got all these young guys say, "Hey, I want to be a wrestler." I said, "Well, you know, there's 1,500 NFL football players playing this year. There's 800 NBA basketball players. There's 125 wrestlers on contract for the WWE. It's a television show. It's extremely competitive. People don't like to see that part of it. But, I mean, also, it's not just kids from North America. You know, we got guys from Japan, Australia, England, all over the world coming in here to wrestle. So it's a competitive business, and I'm actually proud of it. Hard to stay current, you know. I mean, all these young kids want my job, that's for sure. I'm taking TV time away from one of the young kids that's been trying to get that time for a while. So, It's hard to stay current. And all those young kids are pounding on the door.
That was my next question. In football, you win or you lose, or, you know, you make a big sack in the game, and that kind of puts you ahead. It's statistics, and there's win and loss column. It's very easy to measure how you're doing. In wrestling, if someone's writing it, how do you get fast-tracked? How do you get put on maybe the second level? How do you go from undercard to the main attraction? How does that all work?
Well, there's no set formula. You know, it's not like, hey, you run a 4.240, you bench press 500 pounds, you squat 800 pounds, you know, you do this, you do that, you can be a professional wrestler. That has nothing to do with that. Some guys have great physical ability. Some guys are just great on the microphone. You know, a lot of times I always joke the NFL guys, you know, they do an interview, they're like, well, I had a good game and he had a good game and I hope I have a good game next week. You know, if you're going to be a wrestler, you're going to say what you're going to do and who you're going to do it to, what city, what time, and to show them the best move, tough guy. It's more to it than just athletic ability. And a lot of guys have the athletic ability to be a wrestler, but lack the mic skills. And then some guys have the mic skills and can and actually wrestle, but can't handle the road. I mean, the road's a very hard part of the business.
How did you become Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Well, I started off as a Big Jim, you know, with short hair and clean shaven, and I wore a long gold bathrobe to the ring. And Arnie Skolin, an old WWF guy, Vince McMahon's father's promoter, he called me in the office and he said, "Kid, you might have a future one day, but come up with something better than Big Jim and get rid of that gold bathrobe." And so I went through three different characters. I was Big Jim. I wore a mask for a short time out in Hawaii. I wrestled the Hawaiian territories, the islands, for about 8-10 months. And I wrestled as the convict out there. And then I went as Wild Man Duggan. And so probably out of the 30 years, 29 or 33 years, probably 29 of them, 30 of them have been Hacksaw.
Hacksaw character is very patriotic, carries a flag, you've got the big 2x4, very, you know, boisterous character. Is that true to what you are? Where did that come from?
Well, I think as any good characters in our profession are, it's a part of my personality. I mean, you know, I'm not Hacksaw sitting around the house or walking through the airport or out. I was having dinner last night with my family. I'm Jim at home and Hacksaw at work. And the character is a little over at the top, but it is. It's just an extension of my personality. I think that's what has really helped my longevity, because a lot of guys, you know, Ultimate Warrior, Bill Goldberg, you know, they're kind of flashes in the pan. I've been around a long time. And I think that's what it is. People, that it's genuine. I mean, when I'm out there cheering USA, I mean, there couldn't be a prouder moment in my life to be standing out there with the flag of the United States of America. I've done it all over the world and chant USA. I mean, that's a lot of folks say, well, actually, you're a hero for carrying that flag. I said, no, I'm a guy that's privileged to be able to carry our flag. We all know who the heroes are, and those are the men and women protecting us.
Had you followed early pro wrestling in Glens Falls? Like, did you see it on TV? Did you see it in town at the Civic Center?
Didn't watch wrestling at all. I was all I cared about back then when growing up was Vince Lombardi and the Green Bay Packers. Jim Taylor, Bart Starr, Ray Nitschke. I mean, I was that's why I wrestled and I won the state championship as a way to get better at football. I was not even football was my main drive through my career. My young career, and that's why it was so devastating when I was cut, because all these years I had been very good at playing football, and all of a sudden I get called in the coach's office, and he's like, well, we're cutting you. And I was like, wow. I mean, it's a hard time in a young man's life, but I was lucky enough to be able to rebound through Fritz Von Erich in Dallas, and, you know, and now I at the conventions, I always bust the guys chops a little bit. I'm like, hey, how many action figures you guys got out? And I always give them the world champions. You guys been to Japan, Australia? You know, they're like, well, we've been to Europe. And my wrestling career, I've been lucky enough to, I wrestled in every state in the union, every province in Canada, and I think it's 23 different countries. It was just last year with WWE, I was down in Santiago, Chile, Lima, Peru, and Panama City. Did a whole South American tour. It's amazing the appeal of professional wrestling throughout the world. I know a lot of people like to, you know, look down at us and say negative things about wrestling. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of ballet. But I don't blast the ballet people. I realize what they're doing. And, of course, you know, we had 80,000 people at WrestleMania. How many ballet get? You know, we're kind of the black sheep of the sports industry.
Do you enjoy that travel aspect of your career, or is it a grind always being on the road or, you know, being away for as much as you are? You're a family man, as you mentioned, and, you know, I know that's important to you.
It's very hard. I mean, all my Christmas videos, everybody's sitting down for dinner and I'm pulling my bag off in the background saying goodbye. You're a lot like a police officer or a fireman. That's just part of the, you know, it's entertainment. You know, bands are the same way.
You were a cancer survivor, and earlier you talked about, you know, kind of sticking up for NFL players who have been locked in a protracted battle about proper health, and a lot of them are dying early, unfortunately, and we're seeing an increase in brain injuries. And I think wrestling has also struggled with its image for the same reasons. There's been so many tragic deaths early. How have you avoided that, and do you see a similarity there between football, wrestling, and this sort of ongoing discussion we're having in the country?
Well, football, of course, you know, I'm part of the lawsuit for the concussion lawsuit with the NFL, so I won't comment too much on that. But, you know, there's a good example. You're comparing wrestling to football. It's different. Wrestling is more like a rock band. You know, you compare it to Led Zeppelin or those kind of guys. I mean, football, they play a season. They have to be in, you know, back in the old days, I wrestled 52 days straight. I mean, and all over the world. You'd be in Paris in one night, London the next night, New York the next night. I mean, it was an unbelievable lifestyle. And so ours is, you know, the football guys, I know a lot of them are dying younger. But a lot of them, I know at the convention, they're talking about obesity. You know, you see all these big offensive linemen now, everybody's 300 pounds. They get out of playing football after one or two, 3 years, and they're, you know, 450 pounds. Compared to wrestling, there's no comparison. NFL is union organized. They have health. They had this at the convention. They had this heart specialist come and run $10,000 worth of tests on everyone, EKGs and electrocardiograms, all kinds of stuff. Wrestling, you're an independent contractor. So, you know, that's the old joke. You're always a phony wrestler until you try to go buy insurance. They're like, what? A professional wrestler? I'm not going to insure you. So, yeah, in wrestling, we've had a lot of guys pass away. But, you know, it's like I said, it's more like a rock band or a movie type people than a sports team.
How long can you stay in the ring?
Well, I'm very limited in what I can do now. You know, at this stage of the game, I'm pretty broke up. I've been in the ring using my body playing ball since I was a young man. So, yeah, physically, I'm very limited. But people still enjoy, thank goodness, getting out in the ring and cheering USA. And, you know, with the right opponents, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to be a challenger for the world title. But like last couple weeks ago, Sergeant Slaughter and myself were on SmackDown, and you know, Sarge put the Cobra Clutch on the kid. Hit him with a 2x4. We had the whole crowd cheering USA, and people just kind of enjoy that. And it's still, you know, people a lot of times they say, "Do you actually ever get tired of it?" And I'm like, "Tired of it? It's my life's blood." You know, sometimes you're in front of 20,000 people, and sometimes you're in front of 250 people. I mean, but still, it's fun to get out there and have everybody cheering and. Your USA. I like to think it keeps me a little bit younger anyway.
We've been speaking with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the author of a new memoir called Hacksaw. It's published by Triumph Books. Jim, if you ever get back to Glens Falls, you'll have to stop by here and say hello. It's been a pleasure to have you on the roundtable, and thanks for telling us about the world of wrestling in your life.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time and let me tell my story. Thanks very much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.